The Hainesborough Assembly and School Board discuss financial disclosure laws, and Skagway gets a loaner ambulance from Juneau. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Hainesborough Assembly on Tuesday evening showed support for adopting new water and sewer rates. The group also continued fine-tuning local public disclosure ordinances in anticipation of an October ballot question about the issue. The Assembly already approved putting the question to voters whether local elected officials should be exempt from state financial reporting requirements. The Assembly is working to clarify local disclosure laws it says will balance the public's right to know against candidates' and officials' privacy if the ballot measure passes. The local disclosure law would require candidates and officials to disclose sources of income over $5,000. On Tuesday, the Assembly amended the local ordinance further to state that local officials do not have to disclose the actual amount over $5,000. Assemblymember Steve Vick said it was discussed in the Government Affairs and Services Committee that listing the amount over $5,000 would promote transparency.
If we're looking for conflict of interest, obviously if someone's $5,001 compared to $50,000, there may be more concern to call for a conflict of interest.
But Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman said she was comfortable with not having to disclose the actual amounts because the borough's ethical code still requires officials to notify the public if there's a conflict of interest when they are taking part in decision-making.
I feel our ethical code that we're guided by guides us to do that anyway. I mean, in my history of being with the Assembly and financial disclosures have not come into play in that realm.
The amendment passed 5-1 with Vic opposing it. The complete ordinance will have a third public hearing at the next Assembly meeting. Also Tuesday, the Assembly discussed a new schedule for water and sewer rates. The borough is suggesting revising the rates to meet rising operating costs and inflation. But Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel said Tuesday that when the rate schedule was being discussed in committee, she felt more data was needed and that the proposed changes may not go far enough.
As I said at the committee meeting, I believe rate changes in rates need to be driven by empirical evidence and by historical data, and that needs to be justified by the actual costs of operation, and I don't think that the recommendations for the increase in rates are adequate.
The proposed changes to the current rate schedule include lowering the seasonal turn-on and off fee from $80 to $45 and increasing the residential and commercial monthly charges by 40 cents per service. Most other services and fees were also slightly increased. Other Assembly members mentioned there was a disparity in the water and sewer rate schedule that needed to be worked out for the long term. Mayor Stephanie Scott was not at the meeting, but sent a memo to the Assembly. She wrote that the borough should consider installing water meters for all levels of service and devise a rate structure that is based on making a distinction between capacity services and delivery services. The sentiment was echoed by Assembly member Norm Smith.
I think the disparity in the community can be solved by installing water meters for all levels of service. I mean, there are water meters in town that are non-functioning, and the consumers are being flat rated. And I'm one of those. So I speak from experience.
Borough Manager Mark Erden said the utility should serve the payers and not be a burden on the taxpayers.
We need to look at how we're going to create sustainable utilities for the future, and costs are going up. Grant funding is becoming harder to get. We're being squeezed on what water and sewer projects are eligible for grant funding. There's less money out there, and we're not setting aside money for the future. So that is a concern.
The Assembly also approved several resolutions for projects that include roofing and door upgrades for the Klahini Valley Volunteer Fire Department, temporary roofing replacements and repairs for the Chilkat Center for the Arts, and the Assembly approved expending grant funds for drilling work to examine breakwater options as part of the South Portage Cove Harbor Expansion Project. In his manager's report, Ernest also noted the borough recently received funding from the National Scenic Byways Program for the continued Picture Point Wayside Project. The Picture Point project has received about $680,000 so far through the Scenic Byways program. The next assembly meeting is August 28th. The Haines School Board met Tuesday and discussed some of the same items the Haines Assembly did. The school board discussed its support for Proposition 1, the ballot measure that, if passed by voters in October, will exempt local public officials, including school board members, from the state financial disclosure laws. Most of the school board members agreed the state rules are intrusive. Member Sean Cohn said it doesn't make sense to hold local volunteer officials to the same disclosure standards as state officials and legislators. Members including Board Chair Carol Kelly and Anne-Marie Palmieri were also supportive of only adhering to the local disclosure laws because, as the ordinance states, the disclosures would not be sent to the Alaska Public Offices Commission nor posted on the Haynesboro website, but kept at the borough offices for inspection. But Cohn also said he was skeptical if the measure to exempt local officials from the state laws would be approved by voters. Another topic tied in with the discussion of the financial disclosure laws. Chair Carol Kelly brought up the idea of moving from a 7-member to 5-member school board. During the last 2 elections, there have been school board seats without interested candidates. The upcoming election has only 3 candidates for 4 open seats, so once again, the board will have to appoint someone to fill the vacant seat. Several other communities of the same size, such as Cordova, Sitka, and Craig, have 5-member school boards. Board member Sarah Swinton said she could see the advantage of both a 5- or 7-member board. She said at times there are issues that benefit from having more ideas and input, but she said it is difficult to find enough people to run for open seats. Member Brenda Jones said she was hopeful that if the Financial Disclosure Act exemption was approved by voters, more volunteers would be interested in running for office. The board agreed to hold the discussion over until the November meeting, when it will be known if Proposition 1 passed or not. Changing from a 7-to-5-member board would have to go to the Borough Assembly for action. In other news at the school board, the Haines schools met their adequate yearly progress for the 2011-2012 school year. The AYP is part of the federal No Child Left Behind Act, holding schools accountable for showing progress in language arts and math. The percentage of Haines High School students proficient in language arts and math jumped this year over last and rose slightly or stayed the same among elementary school students. Haines School District Superintendent Michael Beyer also updated the board on district facilities, including the high school gym floor. Installation of the new floor should be finished in late August or early September, he said, and bleachers installed by mid-September. Classes start at Haines Schools beginning Tuesday. Skagway is getting a helping hand from Juneau's Capital City Fire and Rescue. On July 10th, a Skagway Fire Department ambulance crashed on the Klondike Highway, injuring 4 volunteer paramedics. The crew was returning to Skagway after transporting a patient to Carcross. The wreck also totaled one of the community's 2 ambulances. So, Skagway officials turned to Juneau, where Fire Chief Rich Etheridge offered to loan out a backup emergency vehicle.
What we're able to do is ship them our ambulance with an agreement through the attorney's office so that they can get back in service, providing medical service to their community. And we didn't lose any response capability to our community because Ock Bay Fire Station is undergoing renovation right now.
The Haines Fire Department loaned Skagway one of its ambulances immediately following the crash, but it could only be used for transports. Etheridge says it could take Skagway up to 6 months to replace its ambulance. The 4 paramedics hurt in the accident are all recovering. 2 of them were medevaced to Juneau the night of the crash, and another was flown to Seattle with more serious injuries. But they have since all returned to Skagway. Alaska Marine Highway System travelers can now track all ferries online. An interactive map showing 9 of the ship's whereabouts and expected arrival times has been available for about a year. The Marine Highway on Tuesday added the fast ferries. Spokesman Jerry Woodrow says the ships couldn't be part of the system until new connections were created.
We were able to partner with the Marine Exchange of Alaska, who tracks all of our vessels, and we're able to get the information from them, and then took a little bit of troubleshooting to make sure that it worked well with our current system. And once everything was going well, we turned it live.
The online map shows every port city and each vessel's location from Bellingham, Washington to Unalaska. It's part of the Marine Highway System Ferry website, ferryalaska.com. To find the map, click on the Plan a Trip drop-down menu, then the System Map link. Woodrow says the interactive map is useful for ferry staff as well as travelers.
If they're curious whether the ferry is on time or if they might have heard that maybe the ferry got out a little bit late, they can go on to the System Map, click on the ferry that they're wondering about, and they can see the updated information for when its estimated time of arrival will be to its next port.
Clicking on a ship also shows location and speed. Clicking on a port's name provides terminal location and phone number, as well as a link to community information. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Visit our news section online at khns.org. We're always open to your comments and appreciate hearing story ideas and topics important to you. You can reach us by emailing news@khns.org. Thanks for listening. We appreciate your support.